chapter 15. We're going to continue a message that I began, I think, in August. But because of vacation and guest speakers and mission speakers, haven't had an opportunity to finish up. But want to continue on the thought of being fruitful. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing on the sharing of his word today. Heavenly Father, we give you all honor and glory and praise once again as we worship you at this part of the service. We thank you for the word of God and how it gives us life and strength. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to look to your word. And we earnestly pray for your Holy Spirit's anointing to be upon not only this speaker, but to be upon all of us. That, God, we would truly hear from you and that we would grow in our faith. We ask your blessing also to be with our children downstairs, that may they grow in your grace and truth. And we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Several weeks ago, we talked about how it is important that as far as knowing Jesus or having faith in God, that as believers, we be fruitful. This is, as we looked in Scripture, an expectation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remember, we looked, and I know it's been several weeks, but we looked at the portion of Scripture where Jesus came upon a fig tree, and it didn't have any figs, so he cursed it. And one of the things along with that, and another little parable that he told, one of the messages that we got from that, one of the things that Jesus was trying to get across is that if you know me, I expect you to produce for me. Now, right now we're coming into apple season, one of my favorite times of year, except for the fact that it's getting a little chillier, which I don't seem to mind too yet. And usually one of our traditions is we like to go apple picking and whatnot. And I am sure that if any orchard owner has an apple tree that bears no fruit, after a few years, that tree is going to be used for firewood. Because it could be beautiful, it could give a lot of shade, it could look really nice and healthy. But if it's not fruitful, it's worthless. And Jesus is saying the same thing about believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be fruitful. He is expecting us to be fruitful. We talked about what fruit is. And fruit primarily consists of two things. And one of the most important things about fruit is that it contains seed. And seed in Scripture symbolizes the Word of God. And one of the most important things that you and I can leave, a legacy, so to speak, that we can leave this world, is sharing the Word of God with other people. Because it's through the Word of God that people understand that Jesus Christ died for them. And if they put their faith in Jesus, they can be forgiven and receive the assurance of eternal life. Although we get a knowledge of who God is by looking at nature and maybe a few other things, the express or specific knowledge of salvation comes through the Word of God that Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. And that message is only transmitted through our words. So one aspect of fruit is seed. But another aspect of fruit is the flesh. And as we spoke about, and you can look online or you can ask me, and hopefully I'll get around to making a copy of it. I'm a little behind on that. But another important aspect of fruit is the flesh. Except for a very few instances, not too many people are interested in eating seeds. You know, I'm thinking of pumpkin seeds, but that's about it. If I'd offer you, and now Gene today was very gracious and brought some tomatoes, and if you'd like, you can help yourself after service. There's a great deal of them there. But if I offered you this morning a handful of tomato seeds, you wouldn't eat them, you might plant them, but there's no taste. Sweetness, the sweetness of the flesh must surround the seed in order for someone to take that in. And we talked about how it's important not only to be teachers of the Word, or those who proclaim the Word, but those who do the Word, or who show the sweetness of God. And we talked about what the sweetness of God is. What Galatians chapter 5 describes as the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace being three amongst the many. Who has anything in the world against love? No one does. In fact, that's something everyone is looking for. Someone to love them. And who doesn't want peace in this world gone crazy? People are going everywhere. I believe it is the chief reason why drug abuse and alcohol abuse is at epidemic levels. And let me tell you, alcoholics make up more than just people who go to AA meetings, and I'm not trying to disparage those who do that. There are a lot of people who are functioning alcoholics and that they can't get through a day without a drink. And let me tell you, that's not the way God wants you to live. God has a better way. That you don't need a glass of wine or a few beers or hard liquor in order to make it through the day. He's more than enough. That one of the symbols of Jesus Christ is new wine and the Holy Spirit moving and working in someone's life. Who doesn't want joy? Who doesn't want to get up in the morning and say, and greet the day with a smile and zeal to just take the day by the horn, so to speak, and enjoy it? You ever see those people? They're all sunny when they get up. I won't ask you if you hate those people. But really, if we know Jesus, and then, you know, long-suffering and patience and kindness, there's so much more self-control. All of those things. And let me tell you, people might not know Jesus. People might not know a whole lot about the Bible. But I'll tell you something that they do know, and that's how a Christian should behave. And they'll watch you like a hawk. And there's an expectation that if you know Jesus, there should be that in your life. That's the sweetness of knowing God, of the fruit that we're to demonstrate, not only in communicating who Jesus is and what Jesus Christ can do, but demonstrating it in a real way in our lives. And God is expecting this. Jesus is expecting this because this is the way people come to know Him. And not only in a purely intellectual way, but in a spiritual way. And it's important, not only so that other people can know who Christ is, when you and I are fruitful, it gives purpose to our lives. What are we here for? We're not accidents. We're not here for no purpose. In fact, not only are if we're called of God and you know, God said, "Whosoever will come unto me." Jesus has a place for every one of us. Everything we go through is for a purpose, for His glory. All things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. If we're fruitful, we truly have figured out the meaning of life. And that my reason for being is to show the glory, the love, and to share the Word of God with other people. Last time we talked about, or we began to talk about, what we need to do. We're having some computer problems, so. In fact, if it keeps up, the PowerPoint's secondary, so. And we talked about how it's important that we be righteous in order to be fruitful. Going back to verse 2 in our text, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Now, out in the foyer, as I mentioned just a few moments ago, there are some tomatoes. Now, I haven't searched through every one, but they look pretty good. But however, if Gene brought those tomatoes in and they were full of spots and had kind of an odor, you wouldn't really want to take them home, would you? Absolutely. There'd be something diseased. There'd be something wrong with them. And one of the most important things that you and I need in our lives, if we are to be taken seriously as emissaries of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to live righteously. Because if we act one way in church and act a completely different way out in the world, we're rightfully labeled hypocrites. And no one really would want anything to do with us or with our message. We also started to talk about how someone becomes righteous. And of course, initially, and this is what we primarily spoke about last time, we must understand that we are righteous through the blood of Jesus. John 15:3 says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. A couple things about living righteously before we move on. Number one, we should never forget that we're all sinners saved by grace. And that even after we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we're going to fail. Sometimes we'll make little mistakes, but sometimes we'll make big mistakes. If you're anything like me, you will. But God wants us to remember that we're not righteous because of what we do or what we don't do. We're righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done, even after we have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And even though today we might have blown it in either a big way or a small way, the grace that Jesus extended to us when we first invited Jesus to come into our lives is just as real, just as powerful, and just as present for us today. And so we don't have to continue to live under the the pall or the threat of guilt. Guilt which keeps us from serving God. Now, am I saying the grace of Jesus Christ gives us license to live any way that we want? Not at all. In fact, part of living in that grace is living in repentance. When we fail, asking Jesus to forgive us and give us strength to move forward. So there's that aspect. But the second aspect, which we're going to talk about presently, is that not only does the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ enable us to live as we live by faith in Him under a place of perpetual forgiveness and righteousness, He gives us the strength to live right before Him. One of the things that Jesus stresses in this portion of Scripture is the importance of maintaining a close and a constant relationship with Jesus. Once again, verses 4 and 5, and also verse 7, the Bible says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Verse 7, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." We talked about what it means to be fruitful, which, number one, it means that we have the Word of God on our lips. And this is something that God expects from us. And secondly, it's shining Jesus as representatives of Jesus, shining who Jesus is to other people, being Christ. Now, we'll be exactly like who Jesus was in the Gospels, no. But we should be getting more like that every day. There are many ways, or actually just two ways, I should say, that we can attempt to be fruitful. Number one, and it's the way that I think most of us try to be fruitful, and that's using that word try, is just by trying real hard. I'm going to be a person of love just by trying really hard to love someone. You know, I'm going to try real hard to be honest. I'm going to try real hard to share Jesus with people. And I'm not trying to say or downplay effort or say that effort shouldn't be involved. It should be involved. But only as we're living in Jesus. And our trying actually comes not by looking inward to ourselves, but looking up to God. Because if we try in and of ourselves to be who Christ has called us to be, to demonstrate all these wonderful fruits of the Spirit, if we try to communicate the gospel, and this is a wonderful message that God has given us, we will surely fail. Because Jesus said in the scripture that I just read this morning, the only way that we can bear fruit is to live in Him, or to be connected in Him. Which means He's the source. He's the power. He's the one that enables. And how do we do that? We do that, and as far as being fruitful, being more like Jesus, and being able to share the Word of God, Not maybe like I'm doing this morning. And listen, sharing the Word of God powerfully and effectively does not mean you have to raise your voice. Sometimes I do it. And you know, that's okay, because that's just who I am in Jesus. But let me tell you, I've heard people speak in a voice just above a whisper. And although it may not have been physically very powerful or loud spiritually, it would shake people to the core of their being. Let me tell you, our words and who we are, our fruitfulness can only be true and genuine and impactful upon others when we're connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you the example of love, which I just alluded to just a few moments ago. The Bible tells us we should love whom? Everybody. Jesus said, love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Your worst enemy is your neighbor. Yeah, so everyone's your neighbor. All right, well, that's good. So I'm going to try real hard to love everybody. And you know, there are people that I do love because they're nice to me. And that's real easy. But then there's that person who isn't very nice to you. And you know what? You'll even find those people in church, which makes it even worse. In fact, the hardest people you will have as far as being able to love that person is those who wound you that are either your family, your friend, or your brother and sister in Christ. And I dare say most, if not all of you, and I'm including myself in this, don't have it within us to love a person who is close to us and yet hurts us. So by ourselves, we can't do it. We need to be connected to a higher source. That higher source being Jesus, who as he hung on the cross said what? To those who put him there, to those who mocked him, to those who insulted him, to those who contradicted him, to those who are trying to bring others to hell. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God is able to love even those who wound deeply. And so we must abide in him. And very briefly, abiding in him, as is stated in the scripture, number one, is abiding in the word of God. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. You want to be a person who's fruitful? You want to, and let me tell you, you can pretend to be peaceful, but it's just pretending. Listen, I can pretend to be a doctor. In fact, funny true story, not that funny. But I went to a hospital once to visit a lady. And the nurse there looked at me and said to the patient, is this your doctor? Now, I wouldn't have minded had this been, you know, just someone who came in to visit her. But this was a guy who worked there and was a nurse. And I felt kind of flattered. I looked like a doctor, I guess. But I could have said yes. I could have told him to do something. But that no more would make me a doctor than standing up here. And so it is in the sweetness of knowing God, especially the fruits of the Spirit. We can pretend to be full of love, to be full of joy, to be full of peace. We can pretend to be kind. We can pretend to have self-control. We can pretend to be patient. But if we're not, when pressure comes, we'll break. Becomes a reality when the word, when we're connected with Jesus, and specifically what Christ is saying here, connected to the word of God. If you remain in me and my words remain in you. A couple things about this. And I know this is Christianity 101, but sometimes we have to revisit the basics. Jesus didn't say here, if you remain in me and you read through the scriptures now and then, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. What Jesus is saying here is that if you want to be fruitful, you got to be a student of the Word. You got to know the Word. And not to go into a long message about that, but that entails several things. It means not just reading to read, it's reading to know the Word of God. And let me encourage you, as far as your Bible study, when you sit down to read the Bible, pray and ask God to open up your heart and mind to what God's Word is saying. I challenge you, and I can't say I always do this, to not only read the Word, but if you're reading through a portion of Scripture, and especially if one Scripture really jumps out to you that day, memorize it. Think about it during the day. Let that Word kind of rest on your mind. You know, the Word of God is real. And if you know Jesus, the Bible says the Spirit of God is in you. And if the Spirit of God is in you, and the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, then the words on those pages are alive and will speak to you. Because this is one way in which God is trying to communicate to you. He does so through prayer, and that's an important part too. We're talking just about in just a moment. But He's speaking to you through the Word of God. Think about it during the day. Make a mental note or make a physical note in your Bible or on the refrigerator. Not on your car windshield. Don't do that. But you see what I'm saying? It's what David talks about in Psalm 1. It's why it's important as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to church to study the Word of God together and know the Word. Bible study on Wednesday. We're also this year starting some home Bible studies, which I'm really excited about. Sunday school in the morning. Different opportunities to know the Word of God. You want the only way, not only a way. If you want to be fruitful, you've got to know this. You've got to know this. And even those who aren't the strongest of readers, and I'm not trying to speak down to anyone, we all have strengths and weaknesses. But today especially, we have, you know, the Bible on MP3, on disc. We have versions of the Bible that are written at a second grade level for those who aren't strong readers. And don't think that's bad. NIV Bible, that's at a seventh grade level. So I don't know what King James is. But that's neither here nor there. We're without excuse. Now, not in the Scripture, although this is something specifically that Jesus talks about, is remaining in the Word. I think it's important also to spend time with Jesus through prayer. Praying God and seeking God. And our prayer time not just being a time where we give God our list of needs. Not that that's not important. How many are thankful today that you can come to God when you're broken and you can give God your needs? There's a spiritual release when we do that. It's important to do that because when we bring our needs to God, God hears and God answers. He wants us to pray for those things. In fact, does not James chapter... my mind went blank, so forgive me, but it is in James, say, 4, I believe. You have not because you ask not. We do need to pray for the different needs that we have in our lives, but if we're to be fruitful, We need to view prayer as time spent with Christ. And just to share my own personal example, when I pray, I don't start with my needs, although they may weigh heavy on my heart. I spend time just praising God and worshiping God. And I usually continue to do that until I feel that it's time to move on to something else. Let me tell you, for those who have received the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues or other languages, it's important also to understand that's not a one-time experience, but that's something God wants us to live in. Because when we pray, and again, it's not something we manufacture or something we start on our own, but something that we yield ourselves to. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself or herself. And part of building or growing in Christ, and you know, a lot of people have ideas about what that is, but I think it just boils down to those wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit and knowledge of the Word of God. Because it's the Holy Spirit. Those are fruits of the Spirit. And it's the anointing according to 1 John chapter 2 that teaches us all things. Now there are dangers to living separate from Christ. And you know, it's not really, I don't believe, especially the way this scripture puts it, that we have a choice, really. That I can be fruitful, a fruitful Christian, or be an unfruitful Christian. Someone who refuses to grow in Jesus. And let me tell you, it doesn't specifically mean you have to be doing this, you know, teaching a Sunday school class in order to be fruitful. Fruitfulness is demonstrating the fruits of the Spirit and having upon our mouths the Word of God. And some people might say, well, I'm just happy the way I am and I don't really want to grow. According to the Scripture, you're putting yourself in a very grave situation. John 15:6 says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Two things about that. Number one, the image that we're given here is of a dried up, withered branch. I hate to say it, but we've all seen it. You know, you look, in fact, we planted a tree in our front yard a few years ago. It's still a young sapling, basically, and already it has some branches that are dead. They're not producing any leaves. It's sad to say, but I think that describes a lot of people's experience with Jesus, relationship with Jesus, where they had a one-time experience, obviously, where they came to Christ. But for some reason, that fellowship with Jesus has broken. Well, the reason is they don't spend any time in the Word. They don't pray. And thirdly, I had it in my notes, but I didn't share it. They don't obey, you know. The third thing is, you know, is knowing God. But then the more we know God, the more He wants us to do things for Him and step out. And Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commandments, you'll do what I ask you to do. A lot of people's lives are like that dead branch, where there's nothing there. Can an on-fire love relationship get like that? Absolutely. Unfortunately, in my experience as a pastor, I've met with people who at one time were deeply in love with each other, and then because of life drifted away, and they no longer had love for each other. They essentially viewed their relationship as dead. And a lot of times, one of the things that contributes to that is a breakdown in communication. Same thing happens with Jesus. We have that breakdown in communication where we're no longer listening, seeking, calling out, reading, studying, whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, that feeling that we once had, and that love for Jesus isn't there like it should be. Let me tell you, in comparing, I don't mean to get off the subject, but I think it's very important. In comparing or trying to understand a person's relationship with Jesus, it is a lot like a marriage relationship. And I'll use my own marriage as an example. Sorry, honey. Well, not my own. Just generally speaking. There we go. I'm all set. It's too late. That's right. And let me tell you, all married couples will say this, should say this, maybe. At the beginning, it's firecrackers and, you know, everything, wow, you know. And it is, and it's awesome. And let me tell you, when you get married, enjoy it. But let me tell you, over time, there may not be as many bells and whistles, but the friendship gets better and better, and the love grows deeper and deeper, where, you know, you really don't need all the bells and whistles. Amen? And you know, when people come to Jesus, a lot of times there are kind of spiritual bells and whistles. It's like, wow. But if you take your faith and run with it, and what I mean by it, you work on knowing Jesus because he's working on knowing you. Your love for him and his love for you won't grow, but your understanding of his love for you will grow and get better and better and better. I have experienced some wonderful spiritual experiences in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I can't say that even through those times, my relationship with him was better then than it is now, after knowing him for many years. And I'm not trying to puff myself up. God wants your relationship with him to be alive. But if it's dead, you're not going to stick with it. You're not going to stick with it. And that's sad because, and the indication in that scripture is, you are jeopardizing the destiny of your eternal soul. John 15:6, once again. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Knowing Jesus is not just about reaching and touching others, although that's a very, very important part. It's about having a thriving and vibrant relationship with God that is fully satisfying to your soul. And that's what God wants knowing Jesus to be. He's real, and he died for you. And he wants to become a real part of your life. Thirdly and lastly, this morning, if we're to be fruitful, we not only need to be righteous, we not only need to maintain a close relationship with Christ, but thirdly, we must exercise the authority that we have in Christ's name. John 15:7, verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Oh, that's pretty powerful. How many would like that to happen? About three of you. Wow. That's pretty good. You understand how powerful that is? What that scripture's saying. It's saying there's no prayer that God will not answer. There is a caveat. But it's saying whatever we ask. It doesn't say if you ask certain things. It doesn't say if I'm in the mood. Thank God, God never changes, so he's never in a bad mood. But it says whatever you ask. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. If you're living in me. If you're connected in me, if you're living righteously under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing and repenting your sins, if you're spending time in the Word of God, if you're communing with me and communicating with me in prayer, you're spending time with other believers, strengthening your faith, whatever you pray, I will answer. And let me tell you, this isn't a license. And going back to the book of James, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. But the next verse says you ask and receive not because you ask according to your lust. Let me tell you, if we're asking for the wrong things, God's not going to answer that. That's why his word needs to abide in us. But what this is saying, especially regarding fruitfulness, is that we need to be aggressive towards God, towards those things that we want to see in our lives. Do you want to be a better witness for Jesus? Pray, ask God. God, I get all tongue-tied when I try to talk to my friends or my family. Whatever you ask, you shall have. God, you know, I open the Bible. Other people, you know, the pastor, the teachers, they seem to know what they're talking about. I have no idea if we ask, the Holy Spirit will open up our minds. And not just, you know, It's wonderful to have. I'm not saying, you know, this is this great anointed sermon or anything, but you know, it's wonderful to be anointed. But let me tell you, if the anointing does not do anything in the life of someone, if it doesn't bring someone closer to Jesus, then it's somewhat hollow. You have someone that you care about who needs Christ? Have you been praying for them and asking the Lord Jesus Christ to set them free? Do you find yourself, you know, I have love, but my love, I know because I feel convicted in my heart, the love that I have for other people isn't the way it should be, or I'm not living in a place of peace? Because you belong to Jesus. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. What is this saying? Prayer is real. And if we seek God for the needs that we have in our lives, those good needs, not only can God answer, God will answer. You'll become more of the person that God wants you to be. You'll have deliverance over sin or whatever other issue that you might have trouble you in your life. You will see changes in the situations and people around you. Why? Because God's word does not return void. Will it happen overnight? No, not at all. In fact, we could spend a whole nother hour talking about how our prayers must be persistent and sometimes take time. But you know, let me just say briefly about that. When we commit something to prayer, and even though we don't see the reality of it instantaneously, God gives us a peace that it's on the way, which gives us the strength to endure. I'd like to ask our musicians to come once again this morning.